Welcome back to Toys on Tap. This week is an incredible week with an artist from the other side of the world, Booyah Toys. He comes on and talks through what it looks like to sculpt artists like Dochi and Jid and Tyler the Creator and the most popular one, SZA, and what it looks like to go through all that stuff. If you want more Toys on Tap, you can follow us on all socials at Toys on Tap. You can jump on and help us out. Like, subscribe, rate, review, wherever you get podcasts. It's free for you. It means the world to us. On top of that, if you want to support the show even more, you can jump on the Patreon, patreon.com/toysontap. It's where you get extra goodies when we do it, and I think this will be the first goodie we've done in a while to give you guys something good. So this will come out first on Patreon, which we're really excited about. And if you need any help with any kind of Kickstarter or any kind of thing that you are looking to do, please, please, please reach out. We would love to help you along the process and walk you through everything. Now let's get back to this week's episode of Toys on Tap. Heck yeah. So we're going to start this the way that we start every episode of Toys on Tap. Please introduce yourself. Tell us who you are and what you do.
Yeah. So my name is Ron. I'm 30 years old. Currently, I'm based in northern Thailand. I've been doing 3D for maybe a decade from now. Last time I've been working in a company was 2 years ago. I've been working for gaming companies doing 3D, mostly environments, sometimes characters, but it was basically what I did for a long time. And gaming industry has changed a lot in the past 3 years since COVID. People, I feel like, less exciting about staying home and play games. Everybody's kind of going outside and it felt like it moved a big change in the gaming industry throughout the whole world. So I had to figure out like what am I doing, and I discovered I thought, what can I do with my own skill of doing 3D and like just keep it moving? And I have a lot of passion for music and for toys in general, and I think games is also part of it. So I thought, why not combining the whole three and just use the inspiration and the love I have for a lot of musicians and just create some fan art, merch kind of thing. And I love the way it goes, and I get connected with a lot of people that like the same artists and have appreciation for the same artists.
No artist starts here, so you got to take me back to you as a kid. You're growing up on the other side of the world from me. You're in a different place. Tell me what cartoons you're growing up with, what toys you're playing with, all those things.
So as a kid, I'm from the Middle East part of the world. So as a kid, the toys that I used to play with mostly is, actually like girls' toys. Like I was allowed into Barbies and Bratz and all that kind of shit. Not cheap, but like good stuff. I used to like the most feminine, just doing the hair and dressing them up, that kind of thing. And also I really liked those 90s like McDonald's Kinder toys that used like McDonald's and Kinder toys.
I mean, being on that side growing up, it's always a shock when Western toys make it over to any other country, like in the Middle East and stuff, because you hear stories that they may not want that stuff. Was there like toys and cartoons and stuff that you watched or that you played with from the Middle Eastern countries?
From the Middle Eastern countries, I don't think we had so much of a local I mean, maybe we have them wrong, but yeah, it was mostly exported, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of Cartoon Network stuff, McDonald's, Kinder, those kind of stuff, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've only been to the Middle East once in my life, and I was there for about a month. And
yeah.
I was in Amman, Jordan, and I remember turning on the TV and there was this random like cartoon show that was on, but it was from Jordan, but it was in English. And it was like bad dubbed and stuff. So it was like crazy. That's the only thing I remember from the TV parts of Jordan.
Yeah. We had a lot of like TV shows. That's true. Yeah. We had a lot of TV shows. I mean, I don't know if it's like locally made, but a lot of that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So here's the question. Behind me, I absolutely love TMNT, Ninja Turtle bootlegs. Did you have any Ninja Turtle bootlegs growing up? Was there any that you saw?
What up, toy nerds? This is Ray.
And Dave. Go check out our brand new YouTube channel, The Toy Rats.
We make toys.
We talk about toys.
We talk about old toys.
And new toys.
And toys that we make.
And we're just a bunch of goofballs. It's a good time.
We make fun of Dave a lot.
I'm all right with that. So, if you get a chance, go check out Toy Rats on YouTube. You won't be disappointed. You might be.
Yeah, you could. Who knows?
You got to check it out.
Toy Rats.
Toy Rats.
YouTube.
Bye.
Bye.
I have Ninja Turtle toys for sure. I'm not sure about the brand.
Okay.
Yeah, I think as a kid it was just like, yeah, that's Ninja Turtle and I love it.
I'm addicted. And if I find out that there's some in the Middle East that are bootlegs, I got to fly out. I got to go. When did art kind of pick up? If that's what you're starting with, those kind of like toys and shows, when did you start finding out that art was the thing that you wanted to do?
I think in high school.
Okay.
I've been doing art and painting on desks in school and like doing those kind of stuff since I remember myself. But around high school, we got separated into like different kind of classes by choice. And I chose art. And this is basically what I did most of my high school. Like half of the time it's like math and English and science and those kind of stuff. But 50% of my time, like just doing art. And yeah, through high school, I had rough times in general of like in life. Coming out of the closet, having a hard time with what's going on in the place that I live in. Art was kind of my way out, like was the place I ran into when I needed space, when I needed to listen to myself, to be with myself.
Yeah.
And high school was a big time for me. Doing that those kind of stuff. I did crazy final project for school, and it was kind of shocking to everyone that was around. And from there, I just flew into study graphic design and 3D and all that. Yeah.
Okay, so I have a question, and you can tell me no if you want. But this is about your story as an artist. And so you said one of the harder parts was coming out of the closet. That's already a difficult thing for a lot of people. And then especially in places where hostility towards people that are a part of the LGBTQIA plus community. Can you tell me a little bit about that? Like, what was that like where you were and trying to figure out like what to do, like how to be who you are?
Growing up as a kid, coming out of the closet wasn't easy. I think it's hard till today, even. I mean, the world is more accepting, but you know, it's still not like the norm. Yeah, I mean, as a kid, being part of the LGBTQAI community was was a big part. It was what moved me. I mean, basically, the art that I did from age, I think, 15 to 18 was all about that, you know. I did, like, LGBT art.
Yeah.
It was about me being gay. It was about me getting a lot of... I mean, my life changed because of that. The way people treated me, the way my family treated me, the way I treated myself. And... yeah, it helped me a lot. I mean, also the bad things today, when I look at them, it just made me who I am. I think when I got my first job at the gaming industry, at my final interview, she asked me to tell me about yourself, and I said, "My name is Ron, I'm gay." And she stopped me, and she was like, "Well, what does it have to do with who you are with this interview?" And and I was like, yeah, I told her that basically built who I am. It made me the artist that I am today. And this is the main reason I'm sitting here in this interview, because my life changed because of that. So
there's so much about, I think you're right. Everything about that situation or about who you are, like, that informs who you are as an artist, and it's just, it's a piece of you that just breathes out. And so for anyone to say, like, why are you sharing that here, that's crazy, because that's where you should be sharing that. So tell me about, I mean, going through school to do, did you go to school, university for graphic design and animation?
Yeah, I mean, it was just graphic design at first, and then it was, yeah, I was planning to go into gaming since I was very, very young. And I realized that graphic design isn't really the thing that's gonna move me into the things I wanna do in gaming.
Yeah.
We did mostly branding and those kind of stuff, and yeah, and so I moved on to 3D.
When you got that first job, working in the art industry is incredible. Like, not many people get to do it. Tell me about that first job. Tell me about how you go from doing art as something you love to doing it professionally. Like, tell me about how that changed.
Especially, like, you know, before I was an artist, before I got money from being an artist.
Yeah.
I was a waitress. I was working night shifts, and it was, my life were a mess. I mean, I wanted to do art, but I had to work like 9 hours a day serving food, and it was changing into that and just sitting on the computer making art, getting money for it, and sitting in a studio, not running away. It was insane. It was beautiful.
Heck yeah. I mean, as you progressed in this industry, you've talked about wanting to do toys and stuff. And you're, if I can just brag about your toys for a second, I think this is this is perfect. Your toys have such a unique look and take on them. You're working with 3D sculpting with the ideas of like SZA and JID and all these people, and you're putting your vibe and your skill set and changing everything to make it look like you, which I absolutely love. So tell me, walk me up to the point you're in the art industry.
Yeah.
And then at some point you look at toys and you're like, this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
When does that happen?
Oh, I feel, first of all, I got a lot of inspiration from a lot of people, you know, I see online. Like, I feel, you know, a lot of people messaging me that I'm giving them inspiration. So I feel like some kind of a roller coaster, which is amazing and beautiful. And I encourage everyone to start making their own things and their own art. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
I feel like how do I explain it? First of all, having merch is something that I really liked throughout the time that I was, you know, working and everything. But I felt like there is not enough merch that I was actually wanting to put on my table.
Mm-hmm.
I feel also like during the time I was doing gaming, I didn't get the chance to do a lot of characters. Doing characters inside the 3D jobs is usually a very specific kind of title. And I always wanted to make characters. And I was always going through connecting them with the musicians that I like, because what I do when I sculpt, I listen to music.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I thought, why not making some kind of cool merch in my style that will match also the shape of music, because I feel like music also has some kind of a shape and vibe into it that creates like movement inspiration into, you know. If Jeet was more like a triangular shape, I feel like he's very sharp and his lyrics are very sharp. So it's all kind of combining into the style of my sculptures. Yeah.
This leads to the formation of your name and the making of your toys. So tell me, one, how do you pronounce your toy company?
My company is Buya.
Okay.
Buya Toys. Buya comes from the Arabic word of Abuya, which means my father.
Okay.
And basically, this is how my mother used to call me, Buya.
Okay.
And so, yeah.
When did you launch Buya Toys?
I launched Buya Toys, crazy to say, but 7 months ago only.
And you are crushing it so far.
Thank you. Thank you.
In your 7 months there, you've done several things, right? You started sculpting, attempted a Kickstarter and then pivoted towards doing a pre-order, which then still did super well and you sold out. So
yeah.
Take me to the first sculpt as Buya Toys, because you, in 7 months, you've had so much growth, which you don't see anywhere else like that. And so, I mean, that's gotta feel good. You're crazy good at what you do.
It feels amazing.
Yeah. So tell me about the first sculpt you do, and then lead me up to when we talk about SZA and the three phones that she comes with, all those things. So tell me about the first sculpt.
The first sculpt is Dolce. This is Dolce.
Dolce is so sick. Yeah. Is this inspired by the new album, The Alligator, or Crocodile Tears, or whatever it's called, right?
Yeah, Alligator Bites Never Heal.
Okay.
Dolce, I discovered Dolce, I think, 2 or 3 months after the album came out. Mm-hmm. And I found Dolce at the times where I was without a job and I kind of didn't know what to do. I just got fired after 5 years working in the same company. Mm. It was kind of devastating. I was already in Thailand. I already left the Middle East.
Let's take a pause real quick. Are you trying to launch a Kickstarter? Are you new to making toys? Are you trying to figure out
how to do this Instagram thing and marketing and business side and all that, and that we want to care for the community and we want to be there for everything that is going on with the community and people that need help, because we were once helped. So we want to pass that on. If you are looking for that kind of stuff, let us know. We will answer questions. We also are starting this new thing where we can help you through the entire process, because it is sometimes overwhelming when you're just stepping in and you're trying to get information from everywhere and piece it together. And it's always nice to have it all in one spot. So if this is you, shoot us a DM. We'd love to talk to you.
And yeah, I mean, I was, Dochi talks about something called The Artist's Way. I don't know if you know that book. Mm-hmm. But The Artist's Way is some kind of a book from the 90s. It's a big journey that you go yourself with your inner artist. It have a lot of mandatory things you need to do. And through this time, I just discovered... So basically, Dochi is doing that kind of journey. And she posted everything on YouTube. And I saw everything, got very inspired. And started the journey myself. I bought a book and everything. And throughout that journey, I discovered that I want to do toys, actually. Like, I discovered, like, okay, like, I need to find... I did it because I needed to find the next step. Like, what I'm going to do? Mm-hmm. Because I couldn't find a new job. And I'm living in a different country. And I really want to stay in this different country. And... so Dochi was kind of my inspiration into moving, into creating toys. She won the Grammy at that time and everything was super exciting. And yeah, I decided why not, do her as my first toy. I actually still think it's my favorite out of all the toys that I did, maybe because it was the first and
yeah,
it had a special place in my heart, but yeah.
I mean, it is hard. What's cool is it sounds like you're describing toys as an outlet, because you lose your job, which currently going through that, I am, so I hear you. It sucks, and you're trying to stay in this new place where there's no family, and you're still trying to exist in this new place. And so you turn towards art, which art is so healing in all of this. And you come out with like one of the craziest pieces where you have an alligator tail on Dochi, which is amazing. And in the middle of doing all this, you're learning how to sculpt. You're learning how to paint, because, and then you 3D print and all that stuff, right?
Yeah. So no, I sculpted for almost 10 years.
Okay. Okay.
In the gaming industry. But yeah, printing and painting, like I didn't hold a brush for like maybe since high school, since like the art I think I did in high school. And yeah, I mean, I love it. Like you have no idea, like, doing something with my hands is something I wanted to do for a long time. And finally having something physical and not just on screen, it's amazing.
It's incredible. And then you start posting about it and it goes nuts, because people love pop culture. They love it. It's interesting that when we think about pop culture, we think about like comics and superheroes and those things. But you're playing in the side of pop culture that is actual artists that are in the music industry, and you're playing on versions of who they are. And so you post that, it goes nuts. And then you move into doing SZA, correct?
After Dochi, I did Tyler, the Creator.
Okay.
He's also sitting here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, show it. Yeah. Oh, it's so good.
Thank you. So actually this toy, I took, this is an outfit he wore, Tyler the Creator wore, like, for like some kind of an art event. Mm-hmm. Wasn't very popular outfit, I mean, not many people knew about this outfit, but I felt it's a very extreme one. So I loved it. And yeah, I wanted to do it. And yeah, and that I did JAD. I haven't painted it, but I sculpted it and printed it. And then Cezan. Yeah.
Which, incredible. And you're posting about these artists finding out about it too. So Jid finds out about it and he sends you a message.
Yeah, he sent me a message. Yeah, that he really wants it.
Incredible. It was amazing. So I find you at around this point and you're about to launch the Kickstarter. So Kickstarters are so tough as it is, right? There's so much that goes into a Kickstarter. And tell me about the Kickstarter and the kind of things that maybe don't go right, but then you pivot and do something amazing and sell out. So it's almost like a blessing in disguise. Like, you didn't have to pay any fees or anything to Kickstarter and you still got to sell your toys. Yeah. So tell me about that process.
Basically, when I did Kickstarter, I felt like I wanted to reach to more people, maybe not exactly from the music industry. And I thought that maybe if I'll do a cheaper version of a toy and make a lot of it, the cheap price will play some kind of a role. And then I also decided, I mean, it didn't go, first of all, it didn't go well. Yeah. And then I decided, like, first, I think I want to keep my toy limited. Like, I think there is something special and something very cool about only a few people have them. So yeah, I think Kickstarter was not really the platform for me. Yeah, it also played a big game with, I don't know how to explain it, but like, it felt a bit LinkedIn-y in a vibe, you know what I mean? Like, Instagram feels a lot, when I sell my own stuff in my own website, I feel more like myself. And when I do Kickstarter, it feels a bit with masks.
Yeah,
I don't want to do masks. This is not what I signed for.
Yeah, I think as a part of doing Kickstarter, you did something that I think more artists should do. Like, instead of just letting it run out and go to the end and fail or do whatever, early on, you realized, I don't want to do this anymore. Shut it down.
Yeah, and then it took me 2 days to shut it out.
That is so good, though, because when you shut it down because you realize that's not the route you want to go, and then decide to pivot and do pre-orders and then sell out, you did a gut check, and your gut told you, let's go a different route. And so you, which was so cool, you did the pre-orders. People came for it. They absolutely wanted it, because this is going to be a factory produced toy, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. It's a small factory. Right now they're on a Lunar New Year break. So the production hasn't started yet, but people know about it, and I'm trying to stay updated as possible. Yeah,
I will tell you that the Lunar New Year part, I love that they get a vacation, but it is so hard.
Yeah. They need to have application for sure.
We interrupt this broadcast of Toys on Tap to bring you this.
Meanwhile, in a galaxy of bootleg treasures.
DOV2, we have engine failure. We must crash land on DKE Toy Planet. Oh my, we're doomed. Wait, salvation. Hooray, we're saved, DOV2. Limited edition custom artist-made action figures and DKE toys.
Check out www.dketoys.com for a full catalog.
Hooray for custom action figures.
DKE.
Yeah, and it takes up, because I have like three projects that are happening right now, and it's the second that they stop, all those projects go on pause. And so we're just hoping that they like pick back up at the same speed when they get back. Looking back over this past, couple months with that stuff, what are some things that you've learned about your art and what people want from you as an artist?
I think that people want me as an artist to listen to myself. Just be concentrated on the things that I like. There's so many people that encourage me and message me and just send me messages of like, keep going, you know, from nowhere, you know? I think they're just, you know, sent by God or something. It's just like, keep going. You're doing great, like from nowhere.
Yeah.
And it's just what keeps me moving. And I think people also love to see people doing what they like.
Yeah. You have solidified your spot as an artist that creates musicians into toys. You've solidified, you really are so good at it. Is that where you plan to stay? Do you think that this is the path that you want to do?
For now, yeah. But for sure, I'm planning also creating on the side some ultra personal, only my own thing kind of toy. I hope it's going to come this year, but if not this year, it's not next year. But for sure, it's going to come.
Heck yeah. You did SZA and Tyler, the Creator, and Dochi and Jid. And what's crazy is Jid commented and is trying to get one, which I hope that he's able to get one.
We talked about, we have a concert in Bangkok in May, so I'm going to come there, and we talked about me giving him the toy there.
Which is amazing. Like, you got to film it. You got to do all kinds of stuff.
I'll do.
One of the things that I hope it turns into is I hope that he says, let's make these. Let's produce them.
Yeah.
And
I hope so.
Yeah. on top of that, can we, like, what artist are you working on next? Do you have one in mind that you really want to...
I have three different toys that I'm working on, correct?
Oh my gosh. Can we get a sneak peek or hear about them?
Empire Blister. Empire Blister. Specializing in action figure blisters. 2.75 inch or 1.18 series. 19 different styles. Two sizes of clamshell figure cases. Four different bulk pack options. Quantities of 100 sample packs available. Empire Blisters.
Now functions. Toys on Tap.
That means a 10% off coupon on checkout. Use code Toys on Tap 10. That's TOYSONTAP 10. Empire Blisters. Empire Blisters.
I think the sneak peek I'm going to get, one of them is really, I could just do, many friends and close friends are like telling me, do this one. He's very hot. And
yeah,
do this one. He's very like, many people like her. And I'm like, some artists I do, even though I know not many people like them. But I do it for my soul. So one of them is for my soul. I know that a lot of people like her, but she's not a very common to my followers, I think. And I'm doing someone very big that many people are asking me for a long time. To start with K. That's what I can say.
K?
Yeah.
Awesome. to work on that many projects at the same time is crazy, because there's so much going on. And how are we feeling now? You had a toy that sold out. You're working on more projects. How do we feel? Are you still looking for jobs in the animation world or the design world? Or is this what you want to do?
This is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
No, this is what I'm doing. And, you know, I never felt more good to work 10, 12 hours a day without burning out, doing the things that I really, really enjoy doing.
I think that's interesting that we can work 14 hours on toys and not even get tired.
Yeah. Yeah. Like people tell me you're going to burn out. You're going to I don't know. I'm doing it for like a year now.
Yeah.
You know, 6 months before I published and 6 now into publishing. And yeah, it's just, I never felt better, really. I eat good. Like I try to stay outside in the sun. Not doing sport, but should do sport. But yeah.
As far as shows, I mean, there are so many shows that happen on that side of the world in these countries. And so do you plan on doing toy shows? Is that a goal at some point, or do you just want to produce and sell from home? And
yeah, it's a bit of a legal work because I will need some kind of a work permit, which I have a different kind of visa that I can sell online in Thailand, but I cannot sell locally. But maybe it was something that, yeah, I will figure out and work on. Maybe it's some kind of a different visa. But yeah, my visa currently is only selling outside of Thailand.
Yeah, I hope that you're able to make it happen at some point.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, it's a very big thing here. Toys and shows and
You said you're in Thailand.
I'm in Thailand. Yeah.
Yeah. Which
the best country in the world. Sorry.
I mean, I'm in the U.S. and our current stuff happening right now makes us want to leave quickly. And so
The things that happens and never mind.
And so Thailand might be the place that we all go, huh?
I mean, I also enjoying my own kind of quiet here. But yeah, you could come slowly. Yeah.
Towards the end of the podcast, we like to have the artist plug all their stuff and where people can get it and what's coming up and when pre-orders drop and all that stuff. So please plug all of your stuff.
So next month in the current a month from now, I'm gonna release 3 toys. 2 of them are not gonna be for dropping, maybe in the future, but for now they're not gonna be for dropping. But at the end of this month, I'm going to release a very big toy for drop, so like a month from now, it's gonna be very exciting. And the reason I'm doing it is actually I want to make sure that SESA is starting good and everything is going correct and right. Even though nobody messaged me of like, where is my toy, blah, blah, blah. I'm still nervous about that. Even though I'm telling everyone everything and I'm super open and clear, but it's very important for me to say the same quality as I did it. This is why I take time and only next month is going to be some kind of a drop.
But yeah, that's awesome. I can't wait to see what happens. I mean, factory stuff is so much fun of like working back and forth, making sure the colors are the same and then quality checks and all that stuff. And then packaging, it's so much fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I send them, they have the prototype already. So they're going to copy the colors like 1-to-1.
Yeah, which is amazing. And I'm very jealous because you're on that side of the world. It's so easy to send it to them and say like, hey, here it is. We sent a prototype of our Queso Jones over and it landed in China and can't be found anywhere. It got lost and it was our only one. And so we are, I mean, we don't actually need them to make it happen, but it was very heartbreaking that it like got lost, but that's okay. Dude, thank you so much for coming on Toys on Tap.
Thank you for having me.